Welcome to Geeks of the Square Table, episode 101. I'm your host, Lawrence of America, and with me today is AKA David.
Hello, everybody.
All right, so we got a small group. It's been a little light here lately. And, of course, the big deal coming up next weekend is Comic-Con.
It's this weekend, actually.
Or Wizard World.
Wizard World Comic-Con Nashville this weekend.
You know, and they called here. They tried to get us to rent a booth, you know. We always do better, it seems, from people coming in out of town.
The outside traffic coming in, checking out all the local shops.
Yeah,
like when I visit different cities, I always make an effort to search out local shops. And Alexandria, Virginia, they have an impressive little shop, and I mean, it's probably not even a quarter the size of this shop, and it was just stocked from floor to ceiling with comic books. And there were some really good stuff in there, and I just wish I had more money when I was in that shop. But, I'm really not impressed with the lineup of celebrities they've got this year. I mean, the biggest name draw for me is Jim Cummings, and that's the voice of Winnie the Pooh and Tigger.
Well, you know, my thing is, I want to see more than just, you know, celebrities. You know, It's really, you know, and there's a few people that are comic related. It seems like most of them are just, it's almost like TV con.
Yeah. I mean, there's people that they're advertising or that they show there that I don't even know who they are. Like tattoo artist or some kind of YouTuber. And yeah, I'm just like, who?
Yeah. It's like one was from like L.A. Inc. or something, you know.
And wrestling superstars.
And I could give flying flip about wrestling. I haven't been into that in years.
Me neither. You know? I just, you know, I'm like, I got better things to do with my time.
And, I'm not trying to bash anybody that is into it, you know, because, hey, your soap opera is your soap opera, you know. We read ours in four-color comic trade, you know. If you want to watch your soap opera in the form of greased up guys in tights, that's more power to you.
In submission hold. They're the yaoi comic for you.
I bet it's been done. Of course, this week is previews week. So other than the normal Marvel's preview, this weekend is Batman Day, so I think it's this Saturday or whatever is Batman Day, and so various stores will be having various covers of Batman.
Well, Outright Geekery took part in a larger group of websites with the Batman Week, but that was like last week.
The comics a reprint of a Batman book that came out a few years ago.
Which one?
A few months ago. Isn't it Batman 43, I think? Endgame, or...
Oh, pretty much the one where it's the... Before the Chappy Batman.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now,
I am Batman. I am Batman, the darkness of the night.
More input.
More input, Stephanie.
But, of course, other than that, we also have a Vertigo preview, which is new for DC. They don't usually put out their own preview, like, as far as Vertigo go.
I did not see that.
Talking about 12 new titles. And, of course, it's like the first couple of pages of each title, too. So, you know, you get a little bit of a sample of art style and a little bit of setup. Obviously Vertigo is usually where you get your more off the wall non capes and tights stuff from DC. Yeah. They're trying to be a little more
they're the more
independent ones.
Got a Gail Simone doing a book called Clean Room, and that is a lovely cover. John Davis Hunt, Art Ops, sounds interesting. Mike Alred's the artist, so
yeah. Well, and I am I don't know, just looking from the arts, the Twilight Children might be interesting.
That's Darwin Cook, which is he always puts out good stuff. His art's always, you know, it's very stylized, but yeah, it's always stylized, good stuff.
Clean, and it has a cartoon style to it.
This Unfollow, the artist is Mike Dowling, and it has a. Do you know who Jeff Darrow is?
Not a fan, sorry.
Well, back in the 90s. Well, he still does stuff. His most recent stuff is The Shaolin Cowboy.
Yeah. This reminds me very much of that.
That's what I get the feeling of, that artwork right there. Rob Williams. I'm not sure what he's done in the past. He's the writer for the Unfollow. But Gail Simone on Clean Room. So, you know, that's going to be at least a good quality writer right there. And I just tell you, that cover, that's a nice cover. I don't know if this John Davis Hunt does the cover
now,
here.
Now, we were actually, nice now, of course, they also got one, Lucifer. It's supposed to be about, basically Lucifer coming to L.A.
Yeah.
Now, but this Survivor
Squad. This is actually a tie into that Lucifer TV show that everybody's raging hell about. So yeah,
that was supposed to come out in December.
Yeah, so everybody, you know, people are up in arms about that show. That's the tie-in comic to that.
But this Survivors Club, this is supposed to come out next month. Basically, the premise of it is, you have all these basic classic 80s horror movies, the victims or whatever. Yeah, these are survivors of those horror villains have gotten together.
Oh!
So I'm just going to read you the tagline for it, because it does a good job of selling it. Ever wonder what happened to those kids from the classic 80 horror stories? The kid possessed by a poltergeist, the boy with the haunted house, the boy in the haunted house, the little girl with the killer doll. Well, despite their horrifying experience, they've all grown up, drawn together via the internet. They learn that their worst fears have come true and it's all happening again. Are they victims or the chosen ones? Why have they lived to tell? Covers by artistic legends Bill Savinskowitz. But so essentially, they can't use Chucky or Hellraiser whatever.
They can't use Jason or Freddy or
right.
Or Poltergeist had the killer clown doll and the tree that ate the kid.
But this is obviously going to very much appeal to the people who like hack slash, that kind of, that genre. The people who like the Clive Barker tales. It'll be a good underground tale, and we'll have some crossover appeal, I think.
So while we're on the topic of the horror movies, have you seen the trailer for a movie called The Last Girl?
I have not.
Basically, it's this town's having a horror movie film festival at the theater, and a group of kids is going to go see it, and the daughter of one of the girls in this group is the daughter of a star of one of these movies. Her mother was a star of one of these movies. Her mother has passed away since she did the movie. But basically, something happens and these kids get teleported into the horror movie. And they're like, what are the rules, the tropes that we have to follow for horror movies? No sex. So, if you want to make it through the movie, don't have sex with anybody. And it's just all that, they're like, the killer shows up and they're like taking selfies with the killer and all that. It's kind of funny. The killer isn't doing anything to them. But it's, people who are in the actual movie itself, as long as they follow, if they're following those certain, breaking those rules of the horror movie, the killer's after them. And basically, this group ends up in the same movie as this girl's mother. And so they try to decide to save the girl, her mother. But they're waiting for the last girl to show up, and when the last girl shows up, some things go kind of awry, and so it's left to them to make it through the end of the movie. And it's a funny trailer. I recommend, if you can find it online, to just check it out, because it looked like a good fun laugh that kind of pokes fun at those kind of horror movies. Like, it's basically Jason, like a Friday the 13th kind of thing.
Interesting. Yeah. And of course, You know, everybody was all, speaking of movies, all excited about Force Friday last Friday. You know,
actually, that was...
Or was that two Fridays ago?
That was the 7th, the 4th, September the 4th. So, okay. Yeah, it's been roughly 2 weeks.
Yeah, you know, and I'm still hearing about people, you know, who got their special little toys and all this other stuff. Yeah.
The most interesting, the coolest thing I've seen come out of Force Friday is that BB-8 app-enabled gyroscopic little toy that can roll around.
Well, the thing that excited me was Micro Machines. Mm.
Yeah, I did see some Micro Machines.
They redid the Star Wars Micro Machines, and my hope now is that they just come back out with Micro Machines. I loved those things.
Well, they did have the new rule or core set for Star Wars X-Wing, which, you know, do play quite a bit here at Comic City, too.
Yeah, and that just was flying off the shelf. Yeah, of course, they're going to be coming out with other ships from the movie.
As a matter of fact, the new X-Wing, the T-70, and the new TIE Fighters for the First Order will be coming out with the wave that has the Ghost and the Inquisitor's TIE in it, Wave 8. So they announced that, like, last week, I believe, that at least the two new ships will be coming out with Wave 8, so there will be, like, a total of 6 ships coming out for the X-Wing game. But the thing about the new core set, it's it doesn't change the rules. The only major change is that the rule book kind of explains some of the new, like, features, like cloaking and some of the tech.
It's not that they have... rewrote the way they worded some of the rules to the most current version, and these are just you can download the rule book online, of course, and so they've had, as they've done tournaments and stuff, had to make errata or whatever.
But
so,
this is basically an updated book, so you don't have to scrap your entire X-Wing collection. You can field Rebellion and First Resistance fighters together. You can field First Order and Empire forces together, and Scum and Villainy is doing its own thing. The only thing I've heard that you have to have definitely will be the new damage deck.
The new damage deck, they changed 3 or 4 cards, and you'll need that for tournament play.
But pretty much everything else is, if you have the original core set, you're probably pretty good. But like I said, you'll have to have.
Well, eventually, you're going to want this just because there'll be cards in there. Can't get out of it.
Like the cards are compatible with the older ships.
I think you'll have new pilots and new stuff like that. And you'll want.
There's only one new category of equipment, which is like the tech upgrade. And right now, the only ships that can use it are from the new core set. But I'm pretty sure they'll put out cards that will allow older ships to use these new tech. And with other waves coming, it's a possibility that we will see stuff like that on new ships.
Oh, yeah. And, of course, they've done a pretty good job, And this was clearly a marketing move as far as... Yeah, it's pretty clear that they didn't necessarily want to put out a new core set,
but they needed to.
To keep the license, they had to put out a major update to coreside with correlate with the movie. So that was definitely Disney had some say in that. We're like, they wanted the new movie core set. Which leads me to believe, now, they did a really good job and didn't... The only changes were changes that actually needed to happen.
Yeah.
As far as... Because some of the things in the damage deck were because of the new ships, or because of the ships that have come out since the original...
The interactions between the cards and new ships.
Yeah, were confusing. Where if they really want... to make me happy, they will put out a replacement damage deck by itself that you could order, so that if someone didn't want to buy the whole new source. But honestly,
I mean, that new X-Wing, it's got some crazy maneuvers and some crazy pilots.
And honestly, most people who play it regularly bought 2 of the original core set.
Yeah, so
you know.
So people pretty much will pick them up.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I mean, I missed my chance to get one here, so...
Yeah, we sold...
You had, like, four when I came in Sunday, and they were all gone by the time I left.
We sold them all to our regulars and new people coming in who had just heard about the game.
Yeah, I know Justin, Jesus, he picked up the Corset. But he's been picking up stuff, because he picked up the Blockade Runner, too.
Yeah,
which was, like... You know, he's getting into it. Yeah, but he told me he got the Blockade Runner for... Because it looks cool, but there are cards in there that are pretty cool, which he's definitely right about.
There's definitely, you know, the models on these are just amazing. Yes.
And for the most part, the power level with, you know, the introduction of the Scum and Villainy faction and most of the new ships, the power level has still been pretty consistent. And Fantasy Flight. Because I want to say Final Fantasy for some reason. But, they've done a good job of trying to address, you know,
power creep.
Like with the Raider, they addressed the TIE Advance. The TIE Punisher that came out in Wave 7 had some cards that address TIE Fighters to keep, like, the Defender competitive. The TIE Defender has a modification now that basically makes all white maneuvers green maneuvers. And that's just insane.
Well, you know, they put a little more playtesting into than some of the other miniatures games.
Like Star Trek. WizKid
NECA, we're talking to you.
Yeah.
Because HeroClix, which is their main line, is notorious for power creep.
And then Star Trek Tech Wing has pretty much died here. I don't know of anybody that wants to play it because everybody wants to pull out Borg.
Yeah,
you know, when somebody can fit six Borg cubes or six Borg spheres into a 100-point game, it's like, why? I mean, I'm exaggerating, but we know who one person would do that.
Yeah, but anyway, so definitely some new interesting titles coming out. Of course, one that just came out this week that I've been looking forward is called Exit Generation. It's by a small publisher called Comic Tribe.
Okay. Yeah, I've been reading some blurbs on that.
The premise of that is the Earth is overpopulated and they're dying, so they're evacuating the Earth.
Yeah, and then an alien race shows up.
Well, so they evacuate the Earth, but... they can't evacuate everybody, so they evacuate 95% of the Earth.
Yeah.
The other 5%, well, you know, it's not overpopulated. They're able to fix some stuff, and it becomes this underpopulated utopia.
Yeah.
And, yeah, 20 years later, aliens show up thinking it's easy pickings. And that's the basic premise, the start of it.
Yeah.
So... ought to be some interesting stuff there. And, of course, you know, the cover previews, one side is Harley's Little Black Book, and that ought to be a hot one. And it's pretty hilarious cover. It's got Harley in the Wonder Woman outfit and Wonder Woman is entirely too small.
She's entirely too small for her, and Wonder Woman is entirely too big for hers.
Yeah.
And then on the other side, they got this new Brian K. Vaughan book called Private Eye. Or is it a new book? It says it's a hardcover edition. I've never seen it before.
It's a digital series.
Okay.
That has never actually been in print before.
Kind of has a... Just looking from the artwork, it has kind of like a that Transmetropolitan look to it. From DC. Like all them years back.
Oh, and of course... Now, they're re-releasing Snowpiercer. And if that was a Russian movie that actually did pretty well.
Is it a Snowpiercer, or is it like a... Is it a comic based on Snowpiercer?
Actually, Snowpiercer was based on this graphic novel.
Ah.
So they are re-releasing... which, of course, is basically whatever, some sort of global winter, nuclear winter, whatever happens. You know, the movie isn't real specific, and there's a train called the Snowpiercer, which is looping around the world. Mm. And I'll leave it at that. Of course, And the movie is about the stopping of the train. But they're re-releasing, apparently, all three graphic novels. Yeah, and of course, we're seeing more hero stuff.
This is something I didn't expect to see, this Ninja Turtles and Batman team up.
Yeah, that's kind of a crazy odd team up. I wouldn't have expected that one either.
No, that's about as crazy as the Batman Spawn one. There's a book from Image coming out in December called The Violent, and basically it's the story of a guy who was a drug addict trying to clean up his life, and things go awry. And they've got kind of a couple page preview of that. Looks like it would be an interesting read. Let's see. I saw something here. Wayward. Wayward number 12. Okay, so...
Yeah, just last week did the final order cutoff for the first year deluxe hardcover.
I did ask for that.
And, you know, it's a good thing, too. Because I was like, you know, I said to Mark, you're going to want one of those. And I'm going to want one of those. Yeah. So you need to bump your order up.
Yeah, because I actually, that was like one of the three things I requested for last month's previews was the Wayward hardcover for the first volume. Or is it the first two volumes or the first volume?
I think it's the first two volumes.
But that was one thing I requested. There was a manga volume that I requested. I saw I read a preview for in one of the Battle Angel Elite Last Orders. I was like, that seems like an interesting premise for. Basically, it's a retiree, and nobody he's like this grandfatherly kind of gentleman. Nobody appreciates him. He retires, so he goes out for a walk one night in the park, and he gets hit by something that falls from the sky. And when he wakes up, he finds himself to be feeling much better. And I don't want to give anything away from it, but pretty much they, hey,
what up, guys?
They go from there, but it seemed like an interesting premise for a story to look at and read. And then the third thing I got was the statue of Cowboy Shaolin Cowboy, because I love me Shaolin Cowboy.
Now, I've finally got caught up on Fear the Walking Dead.
I haven't watched much of that since the first episode. I just couldn't get into it.
Well, you know, I've been liking it. The first three episodes kind of have a weird feel to them. And then, you know, and the fourth one kind of changes directions. But it's basically... Yeah, we already kind of know some of the characters and have certain expectations. It comes to the main series of The Walking Dead, but with Fear of the Walking Dead, it's new characters and stuff, so we have different. We don't really have the same setup like we do with the other one. Yeah. That's nice. There's not like a pre, you know, I know they're going to do this and this and this stuff. Yeah.
There's no Daryl showing up and bolting zombies in the head.
Well, yeah.
I just come across this one in the previews, Bloodstain. Now, this is from Linda Sedgwick, so Stefan Sedgwick's wife. It's a web series that she did. And it's getting printed.
There's been definitely a lot more of the web series making it to print.
Yeah, because even in this previews, I do believe that Volume 4 for Sunstone was featured here. Yeah, Volume 4. Because Volume 3 just come out. Like about a month ago?
Yeah, it wasn't too long ago, really. And of course, Fear the Walking Dead. It's an interesting look, you know. just about everything, like, because it starts out, you know, in L.A., of course.
Yeah.
There's a few people that know what, or see what's happening, and they like, accept it.
Well, I did watch the first episode, the kid at school. He kind
of...
Right.
But, of course, you know, most of the other people don't believe it. That's really how it'd be happening.
Mm.
And, essentially, you know, the first two episodes, you know, the main characters are all figuring out what's going on. You know, in the third episode, everything goes to hell.
Okay.
In the fourth episode, the government kind of kicks in, and it's talking about how they're trying to save things, and...
Yeah, I did see a preview where somebody in, like, a military uniform or some kind of police uniform is like, it's your people's lucky day. I did see a preview where somebody was saying something like that.
Yeah, the government saves a group, and, you know, they're in a safe zone.
Ah.
So now the government is officially responding and all this other stuff. Yeah, it's definitely interesting, you know. Well, a lot of it, the way they look at it, they've done some research, and there's definitely some basis to real life the way things like would how, be handled. How, like, stuff FEMA, like that.
FEMA and the police would respond to such things. Yeah. One thing that's always kind of bothered me about The Walking Dead is we never get any indication that there's people, you know, across the Atlantic or across the Pacific alive, you know, with... Rick and them in the Washington, D.C. area, the Alexandria area, they do go out and fish, but, you know, there's never been, like, hey, we come across a ship with these people from the U.K. or French or some Spanish.
Yeah.
And so it kind of makes me think of that, you've seen 28 Days Later, right?
Right.
Basically, right. Where the U.K. has the outbreak and it's isolated to the U.K., The rest of the world's basically isolated the UK. So, you know, when they figure out that there's still planes flying, you know, so has this entire zombie outbreak gone around the world, or is it just isolated to the
Western Hemisphere? That's a reference to the comic book.
Yeah.
And eventually I think he will...
Because
he will cover that in one way or another.
Because it's high time that, in the comic book at least, that somebody that's not in the Western Hemisphere shows up. Or somebody from South America shows up. Or somebody from Canada shows up and says, oh, we don't have the herds like you do. We've got, you know, better places.
Yeah,
but I'm still disappointed with the fact that that when they introduced that whole new group of people that they haven't done much with them. I was like, oh wow, a new group of people, and basically we're back to Rick smacking people around because they're not watching what they're doing.
Yeah, I really expected more to happen with that group.
Yeah.
And I'm sure those characters will come back up now. Obviously, right now he's at the point where he's trying to tell bigger tales with the comic book.
Yeah.
You know, he's obviously...
With what happened in the last issue with the Whisperers, you know, there's going to be another fight.
Well, and because, okay, so for those unaware, in the comic book, they've established a town, and there's other towns, and there's commerce between the towns.
Yeah, they've established essentially...
You know, and there's, you know, there's fishing boats that go out on the coast, you know, and they've established basically a small little region of safe, habitable civilization.
Yeah. And then we get introduced to the Whisperers, and the Whisperers are like, we don't want anything to do with your civilization. Your son has had sex with my daughter, so we don't want her with us anymore. And, you know, we've marked our territory, and you'll know it when you see it. And basically, you know, some major characters, or some characters of import, were affected in a way.
So, they're getting into these grander scope scales.
Yeah.
The TV show eventually will get there.
If it makes it that long.
I'm sure.
I mean, if they make it to at least when Negan shows up, I'll be happy.
You know, they're speeding things up.
Yeah.
In the TV show, and slowing them down in the comic book.
Yeah.
We're not that far from Negan in the show.
Yeah, I figured.
They did this huge time jump.
in the comic book. Yeah,
That was to age the characters.
Yeah, after All Out War, and it was like, what, issue 123? All Out War was basically, at the end of All Out War, it jumped 3 years. And when we got introduced to these new characters...
It jumped more than 3 years.
I thought it was 3 years.
It jumped like 6.
I thought it was 3. I'll have to go back and read it.
I'm pretty sure.
I felt like it was just 3 years.
Well, it jumped to Carl being a teen.
Yeah. But he was already...
Carl was under 10.
Yeah, he was... Well, he was around 10.
He started out like at 5.
Yeah.
And but I think they did one other time jump or one other spot where they started out like at 5 and they've at least acknowledged the passing of a couple of years.
Yeah.
And then they did the time jump where they're all into teenagers. So they're in the comic they're intentionally vague.
Yeah.
It was somewhere between 3 to 6 years.
I'll have to go back and look, but I was under the impression it was 3 years.
I'd have to reread it to find out for sure. But anyway, you know, they will either get to broader stories in The Walking Dead or it will die on AMC. Because it will get super repetitive if they don't expand the scope of it. Here's the other thing. With Fear the Walking Dead, you know, I don't feel like any of these characters are bulletproof.
I mean, well, you're not as attached to them.
Well, I mean, actually, you grow... I'm more attached to the comic book characters because I spend more time with them.
Yeah.
I'm getting that level of attached with the Fear of the Walking Dead characters because it is more about them personally.
Yeah.
You know, it just doesn't start out... You know, you learn about Rick in the first episode. You learn a little bit about him.
Yeah.
That's true.
But here, the main guy in this show, you meet his wife, his ex-wife, his son, his stepson, his daughter. You know, meet his whole family.
Yeah, but it's introducing you to the life they had, and then they lose it.
Right.
So you're more attached. You're more sympathetic to those people because you know you're experiencing that outbreak at that time.
And so it's while it's a little less action intense, it is a little more character driven, I think, and I like that personally. So it may not have the same level of appeal, but I do think it will have a good appeal. That being said, also we mentioned a little bit about some board games. You know, talk about the Attack Wing, our X-Wing miniatures game. I'd also like to say, if you haven't checked it out, you should check out a game called Machi Kuro. They just came out with a collector's tin that we can't keep in stock. But
was that the gold one that was in here Sunday?
That was the metal tin.
I remember I saw one that I didn't recognize.
No, I know what you're talking about.
It was a golden
color. No, that was that.
Something different?
That was the tournament kit.
Okay.
So Machi Kuro is definitely a fun game to check out. And of course, if you haven't checked out any board games here lately, or if you've never played a board game other than Monopoly or Risk or whatever,
you're really missing out on a few things.
Check out Settlers of Catan or Ticket to Ride or Small World.
I played Sheriff of Nottingham a couple weeks back, and I had a fun time with that.
Now, Sheriff of Nottingham, great party game. Definitely great.
Yeah, it's kind of like, you have to be pretty adept at, or pretty good at lying to play Sheriff of Nottingham. That's the premise of that.
Well, you know, not really.
You can play the game honestly, but... If you can keep a good poker face, you're going to do pretty well with it.
A bluffing game.
Yeah.
Because it seems like the people who play.
I've got 4 pieces of bread.
It's always the people who play most of the game honestly seem to do the best.
Yeah.
and just choosing when they lie.
Yeah.
You know.
Because, like, you know, when somebody goes, oh, I have...
It's essentially a smuggling game.
Yeah. I have four loaves of bread. And whoever the sheriff is, you got four loaves of bread. Todd's son, he pulled that. That was great when he did that. This is cool. In the toy section, there's this Rolling Girl statue. Last time I was here, you were talking about you rewatching Vampire Hunter Robin.
Witch Hunter Robin?
Witch Hunter, yes. Robin. Vampire Hunter D and Witch Hunter Robin.
I haven't watched Vampire Hunter D.
I get, you know, Vampire Hunter Robin. But there's been an anime series out recently called The Rolling Girls. Probably one of the most fun anime series I've watched in a long time. I mean, comparable to Foolie Cooley. Have you ever seen Foolie Cooley?
I have seen Foolie Cooley.
Foolie Cooley, you don't know what's going on, but you're entertained while you're watching it. And all the stories, I'm entertained when I watched it. And the stories eventually connect into a greater story. And Rolling Girls is kind of the same way. The backgrounds to the animation are kind of done in a watercolor style, but basically the premise of it is that Tokyo has broken up into its prefectures before it was Tokyo, and there's these groups of vigilantes that defend their prefectures from outside influences, or basically to keep the order, and the leaders of these groups are super-powered individuals. And basically what happens is there's a roaming band of vigilantes and a group that defends the prefecture, and their leaders fight, and they get hospitalized. And so for the first two episodes, it's nothing but fighting. And basically, we get introduced to most of the main characters in the first two episodes, but the third episode is where they start doing... the story gets interesting. But basically, it's one girl says, you know what, our leader can't go and help other people who are asking for requests, so we're going to do it in her place. So it's basically these non-superpowered people going to help superpowered people, and it's hilarious with the results. It's one of the most fun animes I've seen in a long time. Just to sit down and watch it. It's great. I love it. And it's got one of the best opening sequences I've seen in a while, too.
I really enjoyed Foolie Cooley, but it's all about sex.
Pretty much, but this is not about sex.
Yeah, no, and I say that, it's not pornographic or anything like that. It's all about a boy coming age and... that's really what older, ends up with the main character.
And Haruko takes advantage of the... She's a much older woman. She takes advantage of this teenage boy.
He falls in lust with one character when he really should be hooking up with another.
But other character is supposedly his brother's girlfriend. But his brother is in the United States. And then there's the whole fan theory that, you know, his brother's dead and that Conti is the reincarnation of his brother. It gets really weird, but... Foolie Cooley is just fun to watch. It's a fun series. You don't have to read much into it if you don't want to. Rolling Girls is, to me, a fun series that, you know, all the stories are connected, but they're in such a way that they're not connected, because it's an overarching story that finally, you know, comes together in the last couple of episodes. And just to me, it's a fun series.
All right, and if you've never watched any manga or any anime or anything like that, some of the classics I always tell people to check out. Of course, Cowboy Bebop.
Cowboy Bebop, probably the best.
That is
anime.
As far as anime series
in the last 20 years.
As far as movies, Akira is considered the go-to movie.
Yeah.
Ninja Scroll is another classic go-to. As far as movies with a comedic side, or shows with a comedic side, I've always been fond of Outlaw Star.
Okay.
And of course, Witch Hunter Robin. It's kind of a dark series, kind of a sad series.
Yeah.
But I definitely like that one.
Let's see. You mentioned Cowboy Bebop, Akira, which when I was at MTAC this year, they were showing. I got there early to get ready for everything on Saturday, and they had a couple rooms where they were screening animes. And Akira, they had the R, like the unrated version of Akira, and it was just like me and like three other people in there at early morning. And even Akira came out like the late 80s. 30 years later, it still holds up.
Oh yeah, yeah,
it's beautiful.
Yeah, and a good story will do that.
Yeah. Let's see. Fooly Cooly. I like Fooly Cooly.
And of course, Cowboy Bebop. Once you've seen a lot of different animes or seen a few, there's a one called A Cell, A Cell Saga.
Okay.
And every episode parodies a different genre of anime and everything. And it's pretty lighthearted. It doesn't take itself serious. You know, and I really enjoyed that. Some people say they prefer the dubbed or the subtitled version because they don't like the English voice actor that plays the main character. But you know,
relatively another series that's relatively new that I like is called Beyond the Boundary. That's pretty good. And then there's a new one, one that I like that's relatively new as well, called Noragami. That's pretty interesting.
Yeah. Also, now, if you're going to look into some of the classic movies and stuff, from the 90s, Titan A.E.
Okay.
That was an
Drew
American.
Drew Barrymore, Matt Damon.
Yeah.
Voiced in that.
Then, of course, let's see.
We're skipping over the whole. We're skipping over like the whole Studio Ghibli.
There's
some good movies there. Princess Mononoke was maybe not Studio Ghibli.
Right. I don't get a lot into like the. I know they're very critically acclaimed. Princess Mononoke, Howl's Moving Castle, or Howl's Moving Castle.
Yeah.
He's done
Kiki's Delivery Service.
He's done a whole series of them.
Yeah.
I was always more of a Bocchi fan. Ralph Bocchi is probably, in my humble opinion, one of the greatest animators ever.
Now, this is the guy that did the rotoscoping, right?
Yeah.
Was he responsible for Wizards?
He did Wizards.
Okay. He also did...
He did Wizards.
American Pop.
He did Lord of the Rings.
The 70s
anime, not the or late 70s or not, early 80s.
Not the
feature.
It was the Two Towers one, wasn't it?
No, he did the
because there's
the animated one.
There's the Hobbit, and then there's the
Lord of the Rings,
Return of the King.
And then
that
there's
that
Return of the
this,
King.
Well, no,
he did
the in the animated ones. There's the Hobbit, and then there's the.
Lord of the Rings,
yes,
and then Return of the King. Yes. There is no Two Towers.
Okay, he was the one that did the Lord of the Rings.
Correct.
Okay, because all right.
Because
I remember watching it, and they had like the Two Towers in it.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, that's where I'm getting the Two Towers from. Because the Hobbit and the Return of the King are in the same animation style as like the Last Unicorn, which is a great.
Well, the Hobbit itself has a little bit of a Bocchi type feel to it.
But it's not him, is it?
No, he was not the official animator for that.
Because the Hobbit had that. Have you ever seen The Last Unicorn?
I have not.
The animation style for The Hobbit and The Last Unicorn is very similar.
Now, of course, the most famous thing that Bocchi did is he did the first adult cartoon. Fritz the Cat.
Fritz the Cat, yeah.
Yeah.
He
is responsible for anime becoming an all-ages genre.
Yeah.
He proved that it could be successful as an adult movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, and of course, Fritz the Cat, by today's standard, is a soft R,
pretty tame.
It is not an X-rated movie by today's standards.
Yeah.
Like it was back in 72.
Oh, yeah.
He also did Fire and Ice, and he's done several other stuff, and he did a lot of animation before that. He was animating back in the 50s, with just your basic cartoons and stuff.
Like Looney Tunes?
Right. He was an animator on Deputy Dog, He-Man. Okay.
Was it the Masters of the Universe or the New Adventures of
He-Man? No, like a He-Man in the 60s.
He-Man in the 60s?
It may not be actually the same He-Man. Deputy Dog, he had a long run on that. Animator on, let's see, yeah, just tons and tons of cartoons. And, but anyway, he was the director and animator on a few less. Cool World. Was a big one he did that he was the director and animator.
That
would have
been like in the early 90s, wouldn't it?
Yeah. So you talk about the 60s Spider-Man.
Okay. So 60s Spider-Man, maybe some of the other...
Yeah, Deputy Dog
Marvel
was the big one. Then, of course, yeah, there's tons of shorts. Of course, Fritz the Cat,
Wizards.
The Spider-Man. Of course, Heavy Traffic was another one. So you got Fritz the Cat's Heavy Traffic, Coonskin, Wizards, Lord of the Ring, American Pop, Hey Good Looking, Fire and Ice. Then he was The Mighty Mouse, The New Adventures of Mighty Mouse.
The TV series, right?
Yes.
It came out like in the late 80s. Okay. I didn't remember that.
The Cool World. He's done a few other shorts and stuff since then. But Cool World was the last major movie.
Yeah. That had like Brad Pitt and Kim Basinger in it?
I don't think it was Brad Pitt. Yeah, but he wasn't the main character, I don't think.
He was one of the main characters.
He was like the detective or something. I think the main character was, who am I thinking? Let's see.
He kind of looks like Clive Owen. Not Clive Owen.
Brad Pitt was the detective.
Okay. Kim Basinger was Hollywood.
Was the voice.
Live action Hollywood.
Yeah.
She went into the real world.
So.
It was the animator who was the guy.
Yeah, Jack Deebs. Gabriel Byrne.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
I hadn't seen Cool World in like forever.
Yeah. He has not done a lot of big things. But anyway, we should go ahead and wrap it up here.
Yeah.
Yeah, so there's definitely a great world of anime out there. Wizards, historically speaking, was originally called War Wizards. And the reason why Star Wars is called Star Wars is because he agreed to drop the war from War Wizards. Because they came out the same week.
Ah. So you wanted to avoid confusion.
Yeah, they didn't want to release two movies with war in the title.
Ah.
That being said, Wizards obviously was not... not the huge box office...
draw that Star Wars was.
George Lucas would have had to change the name if he didn't agree to change. So
yeah, and if thank goodness, because we didn't get the Star Wars and the stories of Mace Windu.
That unfortunately did not. Didn't really help him too much.
Yeah.
I forgot. Heavy Metal. He did the original Heavy Metal. Yeah, I forgot.
Well, wasn't Heavy was he the director? Or was he?
He was the director and animator on some of the segments.
Okay.
The original Heavy Metal had a few different art styles to it.
Because there's each segment is different. But yeah, I can see the one where the court in space. I can't think of the name right now, but they were doing the court in space. I can definitely see that style because it kind of reminds me, now that I think about it, of the Cool World style.
Yeah.
So, like,
was definitely one of the classic big animated movies that was adult animated.
Yeah.
Yeah, worth checking out. I wasn't as thrilled with the sequel, but
yeah, nobody was.
That's life. All right. Well, anyway, that's been all for us here at Comic City 2 in Madison, Tennessee.
Son of Maddie.
Check us out online or on Facebook or Twitter or Tumblr and all that good jazz at OutrightGeekery.com or ComicCity2.com or come see us in person.
Yeah.
All right, and good night, Elaine.
Yeah. I'll see you at Comic-Con this weekend, folks.